Really, I am very thankful that Philip gave me the opportunity to be able to share a testimony tonight. I love Pilgrim Camp, and I am most associated with the prayer retreat. I've attended well over 30 of them over the last several decades, and I've gotten to know the people well. I'm thankful for the celebration that I was able to make it to, because there are some names that I've heard during those prayer retreats that in the last few days been able to put a face to many of them. And so it's so good to be able to meet you folks and all the people who have been here. I appreciate everything that God has been doing in my life this weekend. When I came into the meeting Thursday night and I started hearing the testimonies, I began wondering, why am I here for this celebration? And that continued on into Friday, because I was hearing all these testimonies and just wonderful testimonies of what the Lord had done through the camping experience here. I did not attend camp here at Pilgrim Camp. My first introduction to Pilgrim Camp was back in 1970, and I had graduated from Zion Bible Institute at that time, and I had gone to assistant pastor church, and for different reasons, that really turned out to be a disappointment in my life. But Zion had asked me to, invited me to come back and work at the school. And so I returned in the spring of 70. And someone that maybe some of you may know, Brother Nat Saginario, was a teacher and taught music. That was his career, and most of teaching music classes. I had him, he taught me sight singing as best he could. Camping season was coming on, and I had no thoughts about going to camp. But he asked me if I'd be interested in doing camp counseling. And I thought about, well, let's either work through the summer and or take an opportunity to work at camp for a couple of weeks. And Brother Nat, he tried to speak to me before coming to camp, and he said, "Wade, you're going to have an experience that likely you've never had before in your life." Okay. And Brother Rob Costanz is a very good friend of mine as well. We were a class apart while we were in Zion. And, you know, he pretty much said the same thing in talking about the praising that goes on, singing in the spirit and things like that. Well, I was saved when I was 14. I'm a first-generation Christian in my family. And I knew some things about Pentecost. And but what I was hearing was strange. And as I came to camp to counsel during those 2 weeks, it was stranger still. Because, again, it was unlike anything I experienced. But it wasn't necessarily something that I wanted to run away from. And there was a very unique experience that I had there that drew me even closer to the things that I've enjoyed over the last several decades, as I've mentioned. When I was here counseling, there was something to me that was strange to take a break during the week. Just to get away from the campers or whatever. I don't know exactly what all the rationale is at, but I know I needed, I did need a break from the campers. And I think I've mentioned his sister Ruth before, but her son was the greatest trials. The youngest, John, was one of the greatest trials I've ever had in my life, and especially up to that time. And I could just tell so many things he did that week that I just had it. But that day that I was told that I needed to come to the lodge, I really didn't want to take that break, because I said I came to be a counselor. And they were telling me I need to do it. And in essence, they were saying you have to. And so I came for the one day to the up to the grounds here, and took that day. Well, it wasn't very long into the morning service. Different people have been picking out about where they sat. Well, I sat somewhere near where Brother Fogle is sitting. And the worship was going on and everything like that. And then Brother Gordon, he got up to speak. And all of a sudden, he was speaking about the subject of backslidings. And he referenced Sister Martha Wing Robinson and some experiences that she had. Well, on this side of beginning to be introduced to her, now I am surprised at the sense that such a woman of God had some backsliding tendencies in her life as well. And so... I was a very avid young person following Christ. In fact, some different thoughts since this afternoon. Sister Vita was talking about how much she loved Jesus. And I can say that I loved Jesus as much as she talked about Jesus. I suffered persecution from my own family, especially my dad. Did not like the idea, especially when I told him I was going to go to Bible college. And all through, I was just going into my sophomore year of high school. The next 3 years, again, were a real trying of my faith. And I am very thankful. I've been very thankful that I went through everything that my dad put me through. It gave me backbone. When I went to Bible college, there were some things that, you know, I thought that doesn't belong in Bible college. But I had enough faith of my own to stand that no matter what was going on, again, I just kept my eyes on Jesus. And when I was sitting here in the room back in the summer of 1970, I had no idea or a thought about the fact of my backsliding. But as Brother Gordon began talking about backslidings, the tendencies that we can have in our life, I began identifying myself. And I realized that I was in that process of backsliding, that my love for Jesus was cooling. And in fact, another problem I had, went through Bible college, and I had a teacher that was very prophetic. And she said to me, she said, "Wade, you're too confident in yourself." And she told me that I need to be broken. And I was doing all kinds of things in Bible college, leading missions. I wound up being the leader of tract ministry. I just love it, love going on the streets of Providence, going on the college campuses. But again, I was very confident. I would not have thought that it was myself or even have the idea of that thing of confidence in me, because I always thought that was in Jesus. But from that moment, when Brother Gordon started speaking about that subject, it had identified my life. And not that I love Jesus or anything less, that I would say, but I just need to go through a process. And that process really has continued over the years. We have to live in a state of being broken. We can't really serve if we're not broken. And we have to stay broken. We can never move away from that place in our life where, again, our total confidence is in the Lord. But as a result of Brother Gordon speaking that day, it was like a challenge had been issued to my spirit, which I really did not comprehend. God was doing something new in my life. But when I went away from my camping experience that summer, Brother Gordon had mentioned the book Radiant Glory, and that's already been spoken about today. And I got a copy of the book Radiant Glory, and it was a glorious book to read. Light was shining out of that book very brightly into my life, and I learned so much through the experiences of Martha Wing Robinson. And I say this too, even again tonight, to just make light of it, but I am so thankful that I got through that first part of the book. I think in terms of that first part of the book, and probably many people have gotten discouraged. Well, as I was reading it, I began to be more encouraged about what was going to come in the book. I just had confidence that there was going to be something that I could relate to more easily. And Brother Ron talked about a little bit about that, hinted towards that this afternoon. And as he was speaking, I was saying, thank God today about something I didn't know about then, was that he helped to edit that book. So he and Brother Gordon worked together on that. And it was such a blessing to be here this afternoon. I'm so glad that I was here to hear Sister Vita and Brother Ron and Caroline. Such a blessing today. But I just had to get to know more about the experiences that I was hearing in this book. And so I took it upon myself. I made a trip out to Zion, Illinois. I was in the Faith Homes out there for a week and just participating in that. And actually, I began wondering to myself, what's happened to the church that we're not, that we don't have a format, that we don't have something that was more of a picture of what I was seeing and hearing of people that are leaning on Jesus and depending on him to give them their messages and the such like. And it was just tremendous, and I was just learning a great deal about it. And then through Rob Costanza, and then there's another fellow, Paul McNutt. I don't know, he might not be as well known here, but Paul was encouraging me. You need to come, you need to see something similar in New York City. And so I then began hearing about Ridgewood. And over the years, I have slipped in and slipped out in that church a few times. And to experience what was going on there. And I again, as everybody's been talking this weekend, I just couldn't help but feel so thrilled with the idea that I've been brought into what I really call a family experience. I have never in my entire life experienced a relationship like there is here in Ridgewood. Ridgewood Fellowship Pilgrim Camp and all the churches and all the ministers. I met Phil a long time ago now. But again, it's like something that just said, this is home for me. I'm not here a great deal, like I said, only for the prayer retreats. But it has been an amazing experience over these years to meet with God. I think it was Caroline said, well, what did you learn from Pilgrim Camp and these retreats? And, you know, I've heard it several times over these last couple few days. And I learned about Jesus, that you hang on to Jesus no matter what. No matter what's going on in the world around you, hang on to Jesus. And that became a great part of my language and my talk. And then the second thing was the presence of God, that this place is indeed about the presence of God. Okay. And we all know that there are other places where you could go and you could enjoy it in other ways, but you'll not experience the presence of God like I know that I've met here. And year after year, I have come. And I remember the first years that I came, I usually sat back in that part of the room. And that was primarily because this place was packed back in those years. And kind of like now, I say, where are they? Where are people when we have an opportunity to come and pray, seek God and sense his presence and know that he's real, he's alive, he's still working today. Hallelujah. And I experienced that. And every year I had some issue that I was bringing to camp that was, again, like a mountain in my life. And every single time, God met with me here. Every single time. And it gave me strength to continue to face different issues that I've been experiencing over the years. And that is still true even this weekend, that I have found renewed strength to go back and face issues in my own life. And I've always said that God, he blesses me to be a blessing. And so each year I've tried in some way or another to give back to the camp and to the experience of prayer retreat. And I've had so many different things that I've shared, and I remember so many of those things that that one year I was so looking for rest, and one of my favorite verses in Hebrews is that God would give a rest to us. And I was driving on the way up to Pilgrim Camp, and all of a sudden God began speaking to me on the drive here, and he said, "I have a rest for you." And when I was here at camp, there was such a rest that overwhelmed my soul. And a rest that I have not forgotten, and that I know that I need to continually get into when I'm about the businesses of ministry and what I've been doing. A number of people that were here last year at camp, I was in a sober house ministry. And I told someone today, I said, when I was pastoring, I was resigning almost every Monday. Seems like the devil sits on pastors' hearts and gets them so discouraged on Mondays. Well, I have told many people, I used to do a lot of testifying about my work in the sober house, and I said that I was quitting every single day. It was such a rough ministry, primarily because I had no experience whatsoever going from being a pastor. I was asked to come to direct this house to bring a Bible emphasis into it. And when I first got there, I thought I was going to go insane from all the different things that were happening. But that's what I did. I kept giving the men the Bible and doing other duties and carrying out the responsibilities I had in jail ministry and with these guys, and everything was going on. And you know what? The Word of God broke all the problems and the difficulties. Didn't take them away, but we had such a marvelous time. And I can say that in the last 4.5 years, I've had such wonderful Bible studies with men, and have experienced such victories in the life of a sober house director. And again, I'm just so thankful for that. But again, finding God giving a more sure word that would carry me through into the next year. And you know, and I want to direct that maybe there might be someone here tonight that you're keeping up a good front. I was keeping up a good front. I didn't even realize that there was a front that day back in 1970. But if there's a longing and a desire in the depth of your being, and you feel like all the spark plugs aren't clicking right, okay, that it's time to acknowledge that and to repent of it and to get on and move on in your experience with God. And in a way, for I have actually been reticent in sharing in this retreat, because I said my experience, what I've experienced here, is not anything anybody's been talking about. But it's just grown so much that this, I had to ask Pastor Phil if I could just share tonight. Again, just sensing that perhaps somewhere or another, somebody is touched by that. One of my, among my favorite scriptures in the book of Hebrews is from chapter 10. And I would like to read from verse 35 and go through chapter 11, verse 1. I like to use the complete Jewish Bible, so probably with many of your Bibles, whatever it may be, you get the sense of it, but it is a little bit different. Okay, starting with verse 35, "So don't throw away that courage of yours, which carries with it such a great reward. For you need to hold on so that by having done what God wills, you may receive what he has promised. There is so little time. The one coming will indeed come. He will not delay. But the person who is righteous will live his life by trusting. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him." That's God's. I will not be pleased with him who shrinks back. Again, to me, that's another way of saying of backsliding in your life, that you're shrinking back again from those first principles and that life that you had in Christ. And then going on to verse 39, "However, we are not the kind who shrink back and are destroyed. On the contrary, we keep trusting and thus preserve our lives. And I didn't realize until I was looking at this scripture for tonight, but chapter 11, verse 1 really follows in the heels of the last verse in chapter 10. Trusting is being confident of what we hope for, convinced about things we do not see. And I thank God that as we, you know, we heard from Brother John the other night, and it was so precious to hear what he had to share from chapter 11. But we read through these chapters, and people were already given up. Time had, a century hadn't passed, and they were already shrinking back, turning their back on the good things that God had done for them. And folks, we are not, I declare, we are not of those who shrink back. Amen. We're going to go all the way with Jesus. Amen. And you know what? There are times when our thoughts aren't right, our feelings aren't right, sometimes even our actions aren't right. Okay, but we get them right with God. And we keep on going. We keep on trusting. And again, it's a pleasure to be able to be here, to experience all that we have experienced, and to still yet hear tonight about what God has for us. But again, trust in God with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct. He will direct your paths. God bless you.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Our brother Dan Trek has been serving us this weekend on the piano. That's him over there. Many of you know him. And also as staff coordinator along with our brother Frank. And also throughout the year, he's been helping at the Ridgewood Church, part of the ministry team there. And we're just so thankful that God has His hand upon him, and I asked him just to share a few words with us tonight. Come, Brother Dan.